Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So this Lenten season, we've been using as our theme servanthood, as exemplified by Jesus' example of washing the disciples' feet. As we considered both the action of Jesus and the application, I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I felt a very strong word from the Lord. As we considered what it meant to be a servant to those in need, and that Jesus said, "If I have done this for you, will you not do this for me? If I have done this for you, will you not do this for me?" What is it, Lord? What do you want us to do? I want you to love one another. I want you to care for one another. I want you to care for those who are the least of my brethren. If we understand just a little bit of what Jesus did for us, is it not too much for us to do what he asks? And so we've been looking at servanthood, what it is, what it means. Particularly looking at what it means in terms of action and application. We looked at how it seemed the ways of God always had an action associated with an application, whether it was Isaiah going around for 3 years naked, or Jeremiah putting a yoke on him, or even the very act of Jesus dying on the cross versus the application, the forgiveness of the sins of the world to those who receive that gift. And so we looked at baptism, the act and the application, immersion in water, living out our lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and Savior. We looked at Holy Communion, the action and the application of us as the body of Christ and us living under Jesus as head of the body. And we looked at the application and action of the washing of the feet. The literal washing of the feet, which I believe God meant for us to do it literally, but also to do the application, which is to serve. As I've said, particularly to serve those in need, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick. And so today, as we want to talk more about this application of what the foot washing means, in my prayer this week, I always ask, Lord, what do you want me to tell your people? They're your people. What do you want me to tell them? Not that it'll be my words, but I would only share with you what I hear from the Lord. And what I heard this week as far as talking about the application of foot washing, the application of servanthood, what we've been talking about is serving those who are in need. The homeless, the sick, the hungry. But Jesus shared this week with me, he said, I don't just want you to serve those in need. Yes, that's important. But true servanthood means to serve everyone. To serve everyone. To be a servant of everyone. Whether they deserve it or not. Whether they deserve it or not. So what does that look like? We know what it's like, I think, to help the needy. What does it look like to be a servant of every other person that we see and live with and work with and worship with? Well, I was led back to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You've heard it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And here he makes a very tremendous challenge to us. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, not just you have something against your brother. You remember your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. What a statement. What a statement if I stood up here every Sunday and I said to you, okay, time to come up and present your offerings to the Lord and come up to receive the bread and the wine as a sign of our fellowship, the peace offering. If I said to you, okay, it's time now to come up. However, if any of you has a brother or a sister that has something against you, then you all better stay in your pew. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if I said such a thing? Do you know anybody in this world that has something against you? You better stay in your pew. You better not come forward. What a remarkable statement. And my sense is to say, well, Jesus kind of meant that maybe metaphorically too, isn't it? We like to take things literally that we can handle and metaphorically things that we can't handle. I think Jesus really meant it. Now, Paul says later, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with one another. But I think Jesus really meant that we should not have anybody who has an offense against us. And that's really a tough way to live. It certainly has been hard for me. And yet I think it's certainly a consistent teaching of Jesus. Later on in the same Sermon on the Mount, we hear, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, not resist the one who is evil. Do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now we know from the context, the historical context of this, to slap someone on the cheek was to dishonor them. I think we've seen some movies where they take their glove off and they slap somebody. It was a sense of dishonor. What he's saying is if someone dishonors you, don't dishonor them back. Don't resort to tit for tat or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If somebody dishonors us, we're supposed to just take it. Not an easy thing to do. Our first thought is to retaliate. How do we get back at this person? It's not fair. We have rights, right? Yeah. Yet Jesus says something else. Turn to him the other cheek. In other words, receive the dishonor. If anyone would sue you to take your tunic, leave him your cloak as well. Really? If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. It's just not fair. It's not just in our eyes, in human ways. And yet Jesus says to us, if I did this for you, can you not do this for me? Can you not bear the scorn of dishonor? Can you not bear the hurt and the pain of others who are hurting you and offending you, criticizing you, slandering you, cheating you? Can you not take it? Because look at what I took for you. Wow. Wow. What a statement. What a statement. And yet it's not a statement that goes unproven in terms of God's purpose for it. Peter says in his letter, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind, like Jesus. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. He goes on to say, now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what's good? Even if you should suffer for righteousness, you suffer for doing something that's right, you suffer for doing something that's good, and you suffer for it, he says, you will be blessed. For such it was with Jesus Christ. to follow His example. And so if people hurt us or offend us or betray us or reject us or steal from us or dishonor us in any way, we're supposed to offer it up to the Lord and say, Lord, if you did this for me, I can do that for you. What a tough way to live in this world. So contrary to the way that we were, I suspect, all raised. And yet this is the command of the Lord. If I did this for you, can you not do this for me? Servanthood, not just to those in need, but to every person around us. Now, in my kind of distorted way of thinking, I always look for ways to rationalize things. I know it's a command of the Lord. I understand what He's saying. It's hard, but so I say, all right, now how can I rationalize this? How can I somehow make it a little more palatable? And so I come up with things such as this, which I think are very true. I think of three things. One, if someone offends me or dishonors me, I think to myself, this person doesn't realize what they're doing to me. As Jesus said on the cross, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. So I think to myself, this person's really hurting. If they really knew what this was doing to me, if they really knew what I was going through because of what they have done, I don't think they would have done it. And so I just have to rationalize and say, they don't realize what they're doing to me, or they would not have done it. They wouldn't be hurting me as much as they are. How often do people say things to us and do things, and it hurts us deeply, and we have a sense, these people, they have no idea what this is doing to me. Parents? Parents, yes. And so I rationalize and I think, okay, they just don't know, because if they did know what it was doing to me, for sure they would not be doing this or saying it. And then I turn it around. The second thing I say, I have no idea what that person's going through in their life. All of us operate out of our own wilderness, do we not? Our hurt, our pain. We have no idea what this other person is going through. We have no idea what maybe news they just received. We have no idea how what we have done maybe have triggered something in their lives. And so I rationalize as saying, I don't know what's going on in that person's life. But it's possible that something really hard, really bad. So what I've done, I don't know how it's being received because I don't know where that person's receiving it. And so I try to think that they don't understand what's going on in me and what this means to me. And then I also look and say, I have no idea really where that person is, what they're suffering, and why is this affecting them so? A third is that there are times I truly believe and have experienced that there are some people who are simply out to hurt us. They know what they're doing, they know it's hurting us, and they're doing it intentionally. And in that respect, I would simply say that is something of the enemy. Normal, good people simply don't hurt other people for the sake of hurting them. And if that is operating in someone, then I say, our battle's not against flesh and blood. We're battling demons here. And so I try to turn it over to the Lord. Now, those are three ways that I rationalize and say, if somebody's hurting me, how can I just let it go? How can I lay it down and turn the other cheek? And I think, well, I don't know what's going on in their life. They don't know what's happening to me. And if they do, then that means there's something demonic working here. And I need to pray against this because this is of the enemy. Is trying to get at me and trying to destroy me. This person is not my enemy. Okay? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Now that's ways to rationalize it that hopefully helps us to understand that when Jesus says, if I did this for you, can you not do this for me? Withstand some dishonor. Withstand some embarrassment. Withstand some hurt. Because He promises that if we do turn the other cheek, He will bless us for it. He's going to take care of it. And so can we trust Him to do that? One of the great sayings, I think, is to help us, you know, deal with things, just kind of let things go when people hurt us. Just be able to just let it go, which is really what the word forgive means, to just let it go. I'm not condoning what they did. I choose to just let it go. Joy is a decision that we make. I choose to let it go And sayings that help us, this is one that always helped me, was don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is small stuff. Everything is small stuff. It's the squabbles we get into, the things that happen. You know, in the big picture, in the big end of things, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. What matters are relationships and obedience to our Lord. Those are the things that matter. And I think it's good for us every so often to be reminded that there is a bigger picture. There's always a bigger picture. It's helpful to attend memorial services that remind us of this. Yesterday, I attended the memorial service of Chuck Taylor. Most of you probably don't know Chuck and Joyce, but they would come to the early service. They had their second home up here in Hiawassee. Their primary home was down in Lilburn. At Snellville. And so that's where the service was yesterday at the church they attended down there. In fact, built and were there for years. Chuck passed away rather quickly, but they would be here off and on when they were up here in the area, you know, as long as the church has been here. There were 500 people at Chuck's memorial service. 500 people. I always think to myself, what are some measures of how effective I've been in being Christ in the world? And a good measure is how many people are going to show up at my memorial service? This is how I think. How many people are going to show up? 500 people. It was pretty impressive. And then they started giving a testimony about Chuck and what a wonderful person he was. And there were three things that I came away with as I listened to these various testimonies of the kind of person that Chuck was. And the first and foremost, what they talked about basically was sharing that Chuck was a person of integrity. He said something, he meant it. He was in construction, he built things. His word was, as they say, gold. He was known. If Chuck Taylor said it, you can take it to the bank. A man of integrity. And people are drawn to that. Chuck was a man of humor. He laughed at things. He laughed at himself. He laughed at life. What a blessing for us to have humor. So important to laugh things off. Laugh at myself. And Chuck made light of things, and he always laughed things off and was able to do it. Was he not serious? Sure, he was serious sometimes. But integrity, humor. The third thing they said was Chuck was such a man of faith. When stuff was going on in the church, Chuck would be the one to stand up and say, Let's just believe God's going to take care of this. They're building, they don't have the money to finish or something, whatever. God's going to take care of this. Chuck just had an amazing way in faith to just let things go. To just let it go. He didn't harbor on resentment or bitterness or anger. He seemed, from the testimony they gave, he just was able to just let things go. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful testimony. Integrity, humor, and faith, which allows us to just let it go. And so I think not only are we trying to be obedient to the Lord, but think about this. We are building our own eulogy. Okay, if you die tomorrow, cross over tomorrow, what are we going to say about you at the memorial service? Think about that. What would you like us to say about you at your memorial service? So-and-so, yeah, they were grumpy. Boy, if you did them wrong, boy, they got back at you. There's some people we said that, right? Oh, you don't cross so-and-so because, boy, they'll never forget. Is that what they want us to say at our memorial service? I don't think so. What we'd rather say is, you know, so-and-so lived a life of peace and joy, and they just seemed to have a smile on their face because they were able to just let things go. So I believe this is the mark of servanthood. Not just to serve those in need, but to serve everyone, to be a servant of everyone, to not harbor bitterness or resentment or anger, because when they treat us badly, that we are truly able to turn the other cheek. Not to respond with bitterness or resentment or revenge. Because Jesus said, if I did this for you, can you not do this for me? Yes, Lord, I can take some abuse, Yes, Lord, I can take some dishonor in my life. I can take some people doing things to me they shouldn't do. Because when it's all said and done, it's relationship and obedience to Jesus, to be a servant. And so I invite us to seriously look at our lives. Do we not only help the needy, but are we servants? Do we have servants' hearts? When people offend us or betray us or slander us, how do we respond? With resentment, anger, bitterness? Or by the grace of God, are we able to just let it go? Even though they don't deserve it. Nothing in here says about people who deserve it. And that's why it's called grace. Because they don't deserve it, and we give them what they don't deserve. And what do we receive? God says, if you do this, I will bless you. That sounds like a pretty good plan. My brothers and sisters, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of things going on with people hurting one another in this world. Even in the church. And yet God calls us to love one another. The greatest desire of his heart for his disciples was that they would love one another. And so once again, he says to us, if I did this for you, can you not love one another? Be a servant of one another. And just let it go. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. If we follow Jesus as Lord, despite the times we're in, the best is yet to come. Because Jesus loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, help us to live as true servants with true servants' hearts. Help us to forgive, to just let it go, to turn the cheek, to bless, and not to rebuke. Lord Jesus, for what you did for us, yes, Lord, we will do this for you. We will seek to love one another by the power of your Spirit and the determination of our will. And so all this we pray in He who made it possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.